Very glad to be talking with Bobby Southworth, the current light heavyweight champion for Strikeforce. And Bobby, I want to thank you so much for taking the time for talking to me today. I know it's very early where you are right now. And I want to talk to you a bit about your last fight against Anthony Ruiz just a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, a tough loss for you due to the cut. What did you think about your performance against Ruiz on November 16th?
You know, I was happy with my performance, and it was just disappointing because I don't know if you watched the video, but if anybody watches the video, he hits me with a nice combination, but just before that, he headbutts me right in the eye, and none of his punches hit me in the eye. So it was just unfortunate that the cut was caused by headbutt, and the ref was out of position, and I guess he didn't see the headbutt. And then he headbutted me again against the cage. And I'm pretty sure that's what caused the cuts because I watched the video many times and he never hits me above, like, the line of my nose. And it's just unfortunate to lose on a cut because I was dominating the fight. You know, I totally won the first round. I came out, caught a kick, dropped him. No pass guard mounted, had his back. He turned me over and kept me down for a few seconds but didn't land any strikes. You know, I got up, took him down, and basically punished him for the rest of the round. So, unfortunately, when a fight goes for 6 minutes, five of the first round and a minute of the second round, and you win 5.5 of those minutes and then you get cut and lose, it's definitely disappointing. I mean, it's easier to accept a loss that you're defeated in than rather than to accept a fight that you have to lose due to a technicality in the rules.
Now, after that unresolved finish, did the folks at Strikeforce tell you that there's going to be a rematch coming up, so you can, you know, so we can actually see a winner between the two of you guys, or are you moving on at this point?
I don't know. You know, unfortunately, I was slated to face Bobalu to defend my title, and I think that's kind of up in the air right now. You know, Strikeforce, you know, being an up and coming promotion, is we definitely want to, you know, want to establish their legitimacy, you know, as a legitimate promotion. And so I don't think they're comfortable having Bobalu come in to fight for the title when the guy that just beat me is, you know, hasn't got a title shot yet. So I it's kind of up in the air. You know, my manager's handling all that, and I'm just trying to enjoy my time off.
So before the fight with Anthony Ruiz, they had told you that, you know, if you had won this fight, you would have gone on to face Bobalu?
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I wasn't going on to face him. He was coming in.
Yeah, exactly. And when was that fight supposed to be slated for?
Well, originally, right around the time of the Playboy Mansion show, which was September 29th when Bobalu was signed, they wanted us to do the fight at that date on November 16th, at which time I told him, yeah, I'm in shape and everything, but it's a five-round fight and I'm fighting, you know, Bobalu. You know, he's kind of an MMA legend, and I think that 4 weeks is not enough time to prepare for a fighter of his caliber, and I wanted more time to prepare. And Bobalu agreed. He said that, you know, he doesn't have any problem fighting me, but he would definitely like more time to prepare for a five-round fight. So
now that got pushed. And the last time MMA fans, you know, saw Bobalu on a national stage was when he was in the UFC, obviously, fighting against David Heath. His contract was then, he severed ties with the UFC over holding on the Anaconda choke a little too long for the UFC's liking. Did you happen to ever see that controversial display by Bobalu? And if so, what were your thoughts on it?
You know, I saw it, and I don't think there's any controversy surrounding it. He did hold the choke for too long. You know, I don't have any comments because, I mean, Bobalu has fought for many, many years, and there's never been any incidents of him doing something like that. And there were several comments made about David Heath making certain remarks to Bobalu during the weigh-ins. And, you know, in one respect, yeah, Bobalu needs to conduct himself as a professional and not let things get personal in the ring. But at the same time, if you're going to step in the ring with a fighter of that caliber, people just alluded to the type of comments that he was making, and I don't think that you should be making derogatory comments or racially loaded comments towards an opponent who odds are is going to kick your ass anyway. You know, so I think it's kind of a 50-50. Bobalu shouldn't have held on to the choke. David Heath shouldn't have been running his mouth. But I've been in David Heath's shoes before because I'm known to run my mouth a little bit, but, you know, never really during the fight or anything like that. So I don't know, you know. It is what it is. It happened, it's done, and, you know, it's behind the sport, and I'm sure it's behind Bob Alou as well.
Now, your fight against Ruiz was obviously a non-title bout, and we haven't seen those in the North American MMA scene for a while. Why was that fight a non-title bout? And are you a fan of those type of contests? I mean, obviously they're trying to build up the title as, you know, something of importance, as you mentioned. What were your thoughts on going into a battle when your belt was not on the line?
Well, when I won the belt, you know, being 37 years old, I told Strikeforce that I want to stay busy. I would like to fight 5 to 6 times a year. And, you know, I'm not exclusive to Strikeforce, but I really prefer fighting for their organization. I like the rules. I like the way Strikeforce treats their fighters. And so I'm trying to get predominantly all of my matches with Strikeforce. Plus, nobody's put an offer on the plate that can compare to what Strikeforce is paying me. And, you know, like being 37, it's and fighting 5 to 6 times a year, if you're fighting a championship bout every time, you know, there's no time off. And at my age, you know, rest becomes an important factor. Rest and recovery are very important. And they agreed. And so I said, you know, maybe we could do a title fight every other fight. And so I was going to do a non-title fight at the Playboy Mansion, and my next fight was going to be a title fight. But when it was Bob Alou, and I felt it wasn't enough time to prepare, and he felt the same, I still wanted to stay busy, and that was the fight that was offered to me. And being from San Jose, Strikeforce likes to promote me in my hometown, and, you know, if they ask me to fight, I'm going to fight, you know, no matter what. It's just I always like to have proper time to prepare, and I had just fought, and with 4 weeks before the week of the fight to train for a 3-rounder, I felt comfortable at that time, and my last fight was little over a minute, and I didn't suffer any serious injuries, so I was happy.
So that said, it's pretty safe to say that your next fight is going to be a title fight, right?
Yes, whoever I fight next, be it Anthony Ruiz or Renato Babalu Sobral, it will be for the title.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago fighting on the Playboy Mansion card against Bill Mahood, a very impressive victory there in 1:15. What was it like fighting at the Playboy Mansion? I mean, you think about it, you know, firsthand, you think of all the potential distractions that might come with fighting at a place like that. What was your experience like?
You know, when it's fight time, it's business time, and I'm all about business. So I don't really, whether it's at, you know, the HP Pavilion, whether it's at the Mandalay Bay, whether it's in the Saitama Super Arena, I'm not focusing on anything that's going on outside, you know, my circle of trainers and my training partners who are there to get me ready, you know. And the fighting for at the Playboy Mansion was great. I think it was just more of a great experience because I was fighting for Strikeforce rather than where the venue was. I definitely think it was a little bit overrated. Most of the celebrities were cordoned off by security guards and black velvet ropes. You know, there was no chance to meet Hefner or hobnob with any of the other celebrities. And so it was just like another fight, you know. We were there, we fought, they kicked us out. Pretty much. It wasn't, and there weren't any hot Playboy bunnies or anything like that there. There were just some girls that had gone to the local bars and paid a couple $100 to be there. So it wasn't all of the Playboy bunnies that were in attendance were in evening gowns and were dressed to see the fights, not to provide, you know.
So service. No great after party stories after that event?
Oh, not at all. Nothing. I mean, the after party story I have to tell would be pretty pathetic, to tell you the truth. So.
All right, that's fine by us. So you mentioned that, you know, you're free to fight anywhere else, but you love fighting for Strikeforce, your hometown promotion. Have you spoken to anyone other, you know, there's the IFL out there, there's HDNet Fights, Elite XC gaining a lot of steam. Have you or your management team have any discussions with those promotions in the last few weeks or months?
We're always talking to people, but, you know, there's a base salary that I'm looking to meet, and if people aren't willing to meet the base, then, I mean, there's no sense in talking to them. You know, there's a certain amount that I will I won't show for less than a certain amount to appear and to win. And, you know, if guys want Bobby, if promotions want Bobby Southworth on their main card, they're going to need to step up to at least the level that Strikeforce is paying me, if not more, depending where they're placing me on the card.
Is there a sort of, you know, I don't want to get too personal, but is there a sort of ballpark figure that is what you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, if I win a fight, I should be, you know, I'm not looking to make any less than $20,000, and that's the on the low end. So I just
and
know,
none of those promotions are offering you anywhere close to that amount.
Not even.
Wow.
Not even close, which is very disappointing, considering the fact that I have a lot of hardcore exposure for my years fighting before the Ultimate Fighter series. I have a lot of mainstream exposure now that I've been fighting after from the series, airing on national television, and since I've been fighting and winning titles after that, and it's kind of disheartening that promotions don't want to step up and pay the fighters. You know, I just, it's disheartening.
And you mentioned you're 37 years old, and obviously you want to get your big paydays. How many more years do you think you can do this? How many more years do you think you can actually put your body out there on the line, you know, a few months a year and compete in MMA?
Well, you know, I still have that fire. You know, I still want to get out there and compete. You know, I have, you know, I'm a little bit set back by fighting to the level of my competition, so I would definitely like a step up in the level of competition to see where my skills stand. And, you know, with Babalu coming into Strikeforce, you know, that's going to offer me a good opportunity. And Strikeforce is making some huge steps into legitimizing their light heavyweight division. And I feel that the next coming year is going to place some substantial challenges in my path. You know, I think they're signing guys like Babalu, Kevin Randleman, Vitor Belfort. These are only rumors. I wouldn't, you know, these are just rumors that I've heard through the grapevine. And, you know, that would definitely add some depth and some meat to the 205-pound division. And definitely, you know, those names, those are all legendary names, and those would be huge challenges for me. And I still have the desire to step up and face those kind of challenges. I'm always in the gym.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm always in the gym. You know, I keep an 8-week training schedule after a fight. You know, I take anywhere from 7 to 10 days off, but during those 7 to 10 days, I'm still hitting the weights and doing cardio every other day. And I just want to take time away from the gym because I get sick of seeing my teammates after 8-9 weeks of spending 6 hours a day in the gym. And I want to spend some time at home with my family, my girlfriend, and my children. And I try to do that, and then it's right back to work again.
Your first experience in a Strikeforce cage was certainly a strange one, a fight between you and James Irvin, where both of you guys was more, you know, your impact pushing him out of the cage. That must have been the weirdest situation you've ever been in while competing in MMA. I mean, looking back on it now, how weird was that whole experience?
You know, it's hard to look back on it now that, you know, that I know all the facts, and one of the facts was that the guy who was responsible for setting up the cage and who had the pin for the cage door was like up in one of the sky booths with the cage pin in his pocket. And so I guess they were using an improvised pin. And unfortunately, when we hit the cage door, it broke. You know, also, I was disappointed. You know, James Irving, he's a respected professional. And you know, I felt a little bit hurt because I felt that he kind of faked his injury after watching the tape. You know, the only leg that he had on the floor was his right leg. His left leg never even hit the ground, and he claimed that that was the knee that he twisted and hurt, and it never was on the ground, so I didn't understand how he could have twisted his knee and been injured. And then, of course, he chose not to continue, but then later on, a bunch of people claimed they saw him at the after party walking around dancing and drinking. So, I mean, you know, I mean, and that's all hearsay. I'm just saying what I know, so I was just a little bit disappointed in that. It was a bad experience for me. It cost me a lot of money. I mean, I just, honestly, I've had a lot of bad luck experience in the sport, and that's become my nickname at the gym. They call me Bad Luck Bobby because of cage doors popping open, you know, guys, you know, me breaking guys' ribs and it not looking very exciting to the crowd, like at the Playboy Mansion, or me getting headbutted and getting a cut in a fight that I was clearly winning. And it's just, but that's the fight game, you know. You got to take the good with the bad. Unfortunately, it seems like I get a little bit more bad, and hopefully I can persevere and get some good, exciting performances in before I call it quits.
Now, you were a member of the historic first class of the Ultimate Fighter 1 just a few years ago, and certainly a source of a little bit of controversy in the middle of the season with the whole making weight situation. You did end up making weight. You didn't pull a Gabe Rudiger, and it ended up actually winning your fight. Do you feel as though you've shook off that appearance on television of you kind of failing to make weight and all that? I know after your last fight, I'd read a couple of journalists saying that the reaction within the arena at the HP Pavilion certainly solidified that stance, that you have moved on from that incident. Would you agree with that?
No, I think that most of the negative aspects of my personality that came to light on The Ultimate Fighter will probably stay with me forever. Those are the things that people remember the most: the weight making incident, the incident with Chris Lieben, the incident with Dana White after I beat Stephen Bonner and they basically robbed me of the decision. Those are things that's what the audience remembers. They don't remember the good things that I did on the show, and a lot of the good things that I did on the show weren't aired because of grievances that I had with the production crew. That's just a stigma that's going to stay with me forever, but
what sort of grievances with the production crew did you have?
Well, there was a lot of things that they weren't in the first 10 days, they weren't providing us with the type of food that we needed. And, I was the main instrument in being vocal about telling them what type of food we needed, because what they had for us was like Doritos, Coke, Hot Pockets, and Snickers ice cream bars. That was the food that was in the house the first week that we were there, and I had to, be vocal about, we need chicken breast, fish, lean beef, brown rice, potatoes, whole grain pasta, fresh veggies and fruits, and letting them know the stuff that we needed. And I'm not putting that on them. I know it was a learning experience for the production crew, as it was the first type of, the first type anybody filmed. It was the first type of reality show of its kind that anybody had filmed, and nobody had any experience with MMA, fighters. And I think that they were under the impression that we were just the type of guys that liked to fight and got off of bar stools and started slinging punches. And a lot of the time that we were there, they were very disrespectful to us, with the fact that a lot of the times they wanted us places at certain times and we'd be ready to go and they wouldn't be ready to go, and they would be ordering us around in a way that just, you just don't talk to people that way, and especially, we're the stars of their show, and I'm sure that when on movie sets or television productions, they're not yelling at groups of people who are the stars of the show the way that they're yelling at us. And I just wasn't having it, And
so that said, do you feel as though you were sort of blackballed by the UFC, given the fact that you were vocal about the food, the production quality, the way they were treating you, and then obviously, the incidents with Lieben making the weight and the Bonner result?
I think definitely that had something to do with it. The UFC, I think, maybe saw that as me being kind of a rebellious person, and I'm not really a rebel. I don't think it's disrespectful or rebellious to speak up for yourself and other people when you're being wronged, and I think that they misinterpreted that as like, I wouldn't be a company guy, and I'm very loyal to people who are loyal to me, and I'm for Strikeforce, I'm extremely loyal to them, and I do everything I can to represent the Strikeforce promotion and Silicon Valley Sports and Entertainment, to the best of my ability in public and in private, whether I'm fighting or not. You're not hearing stories about me getting in brawls with people in bars or, picking fights on the street or getting pulled over for DUIs with cocaine in my possession, because I just don't do those things. And, so I'm not sure, it could have been misconstrued as that. I don't think it was based on my fighting ability, because there are plenty of guys who are fighting in the 205-pound division in the UFC and who are ranked in that division that I'm easily as good as, if not better than. So, it is what it is. I think a lot of people find it funny, that I don't fight for the UFC. And, of course, they're the big dog you know, they're the big dog in the dog park, and guys do want to fight for them. But at the same time, MMA is a sport, and the UFC isn't the only. The UFC is not MMA. There are a lot of other great promotions out there. There are a lot of other great fighters out there fighting for promotions that don't get the mainstream exposure. It's become very similar to the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball in the sense that not all the best players are always playing in the major leagues. You know, some guys are playing in the minor leagues of professional baseball that are better than major leaguers. There are guys playing in the CBA that are better than NBA players, you know. And that's kind of the boat I'm in. But, you know, that's not my problem. I don't have a problem with that because I love the sport and I love competing in MMA, whether I'm fighting for the UFC, for M1 Global, for Elite XC, or any of the other slew of promotions that you mentioned. My goal is that I want to be fighting because this is what I love, and I want to be getting paid to do what I love. And Strikeforce is a great place for me to do that, and I'm ecstatic about, you know, fighting for this promotion.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago potentially a guy like Vitor Belfort coming into Strikeforce, and you know, you guys fought each other in Pride. Is that a fight that you would love to, you know, potentially avenge a loss to Belfort, the one that you suffered? It would have been, by the time you guys would maybe meet up, almost 7 years.
Yeah, that would be great for me. You know, when I took that fight, it was my fourth professional fight. I took the fight on 2 weeks' notice. And at the time, you know, I had been fighting in the 195 weight division, and Pride was an open weight class, and Vitor, I believe, weighed in at like 100 kilograms or like 98 kilograms. So he was like 216, 218 pounds, and I weighed in at like 194 pounds. So, you know, he was a lot bigger than me, obviously a lot more skilled at the time, and definitely a lot bigger than me. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I'm bigger now, I'm stronger, I'm more skilled, and, you know, I would definitely love to give it my best to avenge that loss. Vitor's a hot and cold fighter, you know, when he comes in and he's hot, he's on, he's definitely one of the best 205-pounders in the planet. So whether he's hot or cold, I definitely need to bring my A game, and I think it would be an exciting fight because I think that we're both very experienced strikers and we're both very experienced on the ground, and you know, I think it would come down to a battle of wills.
How come you didn't have any other appearances for Pride following that loss?
You know, I don't know. Like I said, bad luck Bobby strikes again. You know, they call you on 2 weeks' notice to fight, you know, one of their top-rated guys at the time. And I think Vitor was on a 3-fight win streak right before then, before we fought. And, you know, they weren't impressed with my performance, I guess.
All right, Bobby, so you're the champ at Strikeforce in the light heavyweight division. Anyone out there who's not contracted by the UFC, because obviously they're not playing ball with any of the other promotions, is there any guy out there that you'd love to go toe-to-toe with in the cage?
Right now I'm just thinking about and praying for my rematch with Anthony Ruiz because I'm very disappointed, you know, in the way that fight went down. You know, I think, you know, it's nothing personal against Anthony. He seemed like a nice guy. He was, you know, very respectful before and after the fight. And, you know, I just hope he's not thinking that he defeated me because that's not the case. You know, it was just bad luck on the headbutt and the ref being out of position to see it. And, you know, if it was me and the situation was reversed, I wouldn't be counting that as a victory. You know, I would just take it for what it was and be waiting for the next time I face the guy, and that's what I'm waiting for myself.
So if you're offered Babalu Ruiz a chance at both right now, you'd rather kind of prove yourself against Ruiz, get that out of the way, and then face Babalu?
Oh, no. I mean, if it comes down to a choice, you know, which guy do I want to get to fight, I would definitely like to fight Babalu. He's the bigger name. He's the better fighter. You know, it's the bigger challenge, you know. I mean, Anthony Ruiz is going to be around. You know, that's the loss I can always have a chance to avenge. And, you know, but I don't make those choices. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm a company guy, and whoever Strikeforce tells me to fight, that's who I'm fighting. And the only thing I know is that my next fight, my belt will be on the line.
Bobby,
and I'll be ready to defend it.
Great talking to you, Bobby, today. I really appreciate the time. Really enjoyed it a lot. And best of luck to you, the light heavyweight champion for Strikeforce, whether if it's against Babalu, Belfort, James Irvin, whoever. We enjoy seeing you in the cage, and appreciate you taking the time today.
Is it okay if I give like a little shout out for my sponsors?
Oh, go ahead, go crazy.
Cool. I definitely like to thank some of my sponsors. I'd like to thank Renegade Fightwear, Pain Incorporated, Stanley Steamer of Monterey, War Sport, the Cardiff Lounge, Shocker Nutrition at shockernutrition.com, and Score Clinic at scoreclinic.com for great products and services in your area. Just take the name and add .com at the end, and these guys will take care of you. Thanks a lot, man. It was a pleasure being on the show. Appreciate it.